You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday, so it's time for Shapiro World with David Shapiro, who's the Deputy Chairman of Sasfin Securities, based in the salubrious surroundings of Melrose Arch, but he's in the even more salubrious surroundings of Manhattan in New York at the moment. David, how was your run in Central Park this morning?
No, it's lovely. You know, the weather's changing, so you have no idea what it's going to be like, but it's back into the 70s, as they call it. What's that, about 24 degrees here. So
yes.
We have one hot, one cool day. But I must say that the weather's been holding out, which makes it completely different, which is really lovely. But Central Park, millions of people, millions of dogs there, but spotlessly clean and just a lovely place to run. You can get lost there. There's lots of paths that you can take. As I get older, I generally avoid the main runners simply because it hurts me to see old woman just running past me as though I'm an old man, which I am. You know, it just makes me understand how I'm aging, you see. And I look at these women, I say, how can that one, you know, Tucker's wobbling there, running past me. I say, no, this is not true, but it is true.
There are 20,000 trees. There are 20,000 trees in Central Park, David. Did you know that? 20,000 trees. I mean, this must be the world's most spectacular in the city park.
It's very, very well kept. There's some beautiful gardens, and there are a lot of retreats. In other words, foresty areas or places where you can go. And, you know, New York have, they're very pet crazy, and the dogs are well trained. And this is a famous, you know, you dare not let them poo.
Yes. You have to pick it up, obviously.
You know, on the lawn, or you pick it up. And, there's special places where they let them free and run around and that. So it's a very peaceful area. It's very, very peaceful. They've introduced, as it's got more popular, you can only ride one way. You know, you can, if you're on a bicycle, you can only go in one direction. And of course, you get a lot of people from the Spanish countries and that who can't understand and keep going the wrong way around, you know, and causing chaos. But that's in any tourist area. I would do the same in Spain, I suppose, or in China.
Yes. Okay. But anyway, you're having fun there and you're enjoying the liberty, even though that there were four homeless people smashed to death by a pipe-wielding man as well in a Chinatown.
Yeah.
So it's not immune from crime.
No, you know, it's not, but it's pretty safe. I think it's very isolated. And, you know, I catch trains all the time and buses and walk around in the evenings and that. And I never feel the same, never feel threatened, never feel the same threat as in South Africa at all. You never feel as though there's someone creeping up on you.
Yes.
That's the difference. But those areas would, you know, of course, they're going to be areas which attract that kind of crime. I think they're only, you know, when you consider in a city of about, 10 million plus people, there are only about 3,500 homeless people in total. So That's not a lot, and they tend to congregate in certain areas. But this is just some kind of madman, I mean.
Yes, they're everywhere. Let's have a look at South Africa talking about madmen, because Clicks is up 12% today. That's quite extraordinary.
That.
And the thing is, David, that I spoke to Greg Davies, to whom we speak twice a week, and he said, it was 2:37 at the time, he said, the rumour is there's some hedge funds that are short of this thing. And we had a bit of a giggle because it's always good to see hedge funds not doing so well because they're so cocky. But anyway, here it is now, 2:44, 2:45. It's a really big move. And it was a good trading update. But the other thing, apart from the hedge funds and the short-term nature of this move, is that we latch onto anything that is good news. 10 to 15% was the increase projected at their last trading statement, and now it's 15 to 18%. So a company doing well, everyone says, thank you very much, I'll take some of that.
Lindsay, it's hedge, it's trading territory. It's not investment territory, and I think that you're going to get those kind of movements. I think the market is so battered and so bashed that any bit of good news will swing the market in different directions. I think on balance, the market is probably short. In other words, I think more people believe it's going to go down than up.
Yes.
So any kind of good news is going to turn it around. You know, the problem is that when you look at Clicks and then you look at the South African economy and try and understand where it is, low growth, high unemployment, debt creeping up, it's not the backdrop for ongoing, increasing, sustainable earnings. So yeah, you can play, you know, you can play the short term, you can play trading situations. I don't call them, as we said, I think I was talking last week to you when you said, I don't call them value. I call them, you know, companies are in distress, and there's any sign that they're coming out of distress is going to push them up. But be very careful. I don't think that the global situation is such that we're going to see any sharp upward movement, save Trump turning around and doing a deal with the Chinese. I think that's the only thing that will get markets, you know, into more positive territory, or when we talk about the U.S., into high ground. So it's a difficult – we're in for a difficult third quarter, I think a very muted third quarter.
Yeah, talking about Trump, what is the mood in New York about this chap who is quite simply a native New Yorker?
You know, when you look at, I think when we discussed with Wayne on Wednesday, you know, when you look at all the different channels, and it's going on, it goes on every day. New revelations, new information coming out, just pointing to a very, very difficult time, you know, for Trump. What it does reveal is that there's a man here whom you can't read from day to day. He's got no experience in state, in foreign relations. He changes his mind all the time, you know, to suit him. So it's very difficult to read him. And I think, you know, it's no wonder that there's so much uncertainty, because you don't know what he's going to do next. And he is being caged in by impeachment. But it's no certainty, because the Republicans, only one or two have come out against him or questioning him. The majority would in the Senate would obviously vote against impeachment, but it is his image is throughout the few years. I mean, we've always questioned him, but that's beginning to increase now. People are really wondering who's in charge of the U.S. So why I bring it all up is that it's very difficult to know what he's going to do in other situations, like now when it comes to the trade talks. You know, is he going to try and save face and put on a very strong face against the Chinese? I don't know. You don't know. You don't know where it's going to come. The market at the moment, I see the S&P is down about 0.25%. Mm. And I think this is questioning whether he's going to come out with a deal against the Chinese. I'm sure the Chinese know what kind of situation he's in, and therefore it strengthened their hand. But it's difficult to see a clear path in markets at the moment, Lindsay. You know, and it's probably the time you just sit back and just watch.
Yes, you just watch, and you watch with increasing interest as well. There's two camps, and this, I think, bears out what you said last week about a country that is completely divided. Mm. And I've been reading, I read the Huffington Post, and I read the Atlantic, and I read CNN and watch CNN. And so I'm very much skewed against Trump. But on the other hand, you've got Breitbart and you've got Fox News, who are completely pro-Trump, and you've got this amazing bunch of people. Trump could murder someone, and his support base would say, well, it was completely justified. Are you sensing that division still in New York?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think necessarily New York, but certainly in the country. You know, and within New York, you still have people who are pro-Trump. I was listening, and I think I mentioned it last week. I was listening to a talk show on the way driving back from Boston, and I was staggered by the outbursts, of the talk show host against, in favor of Trump, in favor of Trump. And we were in Connecticut or New Hampshire, and which I always thought were, blue states, in other words, Democratic states. But I was staggered. It might have been one of these services that is, the CBS service that goes countrywide, whatever it is, a CBS talk show. But that's the kind of talk you get, the kind of talk that you see in series, where you get these fringe type people, fringe type politicians and that, who are, extremely right wing or extremely left wing, whichever way you interpret it. But crazy, crazy country. So I think it's against that. There's no one in the middle, and we're not getting sobering voices in the middle. There's no one coming out and saying, come on, it's enough of this. We've got to follow a middle path. I don't think they care about what people think of them globally. And I think they've turned the whole world against them, you know, America. And yet, when I say that, when I go around Central Park or when I walk around the area in which we are now, which is the Lincoln Center area, yes. Columbus Circle, which is a very, very populous place, the number of visitors from Asia is staggering. The number of visitors from neighboring countries, you know, from America, from Latin America, more, and I don't know whether they're from Europe because I can't distinguish the different accents. Are they Spanish or are they Argentinian? You know, are they Portuguese or Brazilian? I don't know.
Right.
But staggering number of people here. You know, Broadway packed, always packed, and so even though they're losing their way internationally in terms of politics, I think tourists still flock to America.
Yes, they do. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing country, and New York is not America, of course. We do know mm-hmm. that. Let's come back to South Africa now. The clicks numbers we've spoken about. Mm. I don't see any news. I don't see these sort of political interactions that we see in the UK and in the United States of America. I mean, you've got a divided camp in the US, we've spoken about that, and very much a divided UK as well with Boris Johnson and the Remainers going head to head. And I just worry about people like Boris Johnson and Donald Trump emboldening yeah. other people. Again, we've had this discussion before, but it's almost now as though Boris Johnson says, well, if Donald Trump can do it, in other words, be bombastic and use this really inflammatory language, then why shouldn't I do it? And I see him walking around cocky. Do you know what's going to happen on October the 31st? The UK economy is going to fall in a heap from that day. It's going to be disastrous.
I think the only good thing about that is that the UK is no longer the kind of economic force that it used to be. But it will certainly be disruptive. I mean, it's what's it, Germany, France, UK, Italy, whatever it is, Japan, you know, China are still significantly bigger than the UK. So I think from that point of view, while it might come down quite a lot, I don't know how disturbing it's going to be. It's going to be very disturbing for people living in the UK. And I wouldn't touch a UK-based share. You know, there's some of the companies there that are international, you know, that operate globally. That one can still look at. But I mean, UK, the Investix or companies like that who operate, who rely on UK base, I'd be very, very cautious of. And it's getting, you know, each day we're moving closer towards that day. Nothing seems to have happened. He thinks he's got a deal, but I don't think anybody else believes it. You know, the Europeans certainly don't believe it. And I think the Europeans are getting on in their own way. You know, they're going to be hurt to an extent, but I think they're just getting on with it. If you look at their market, I know it's under pressure because there's not much growth in Europe. They've got their own issues. But that's more to do with the Germans who don't want to spend and the Dutch who don't want to spend. Rather than UK worrying about Brexit, but still, I think, Lindsay, you know, as we talk, when you put this all together, it's no wonder we are where we are in no man's land, just drifting, because you've got to work your way through the impeachment saga, through the trade war saga, through the Brexit saga, through I don't know what's happening in Italy, through a slowing China, through the Hong Kong which is getting ugly and having effect on companies. So when you look at the headlines, it's very, very difficult to get excited about world markets. And we're coming into the third quarter earnings season. No one's expecting much there. From what we've seen, I think it's going to be, it'll be in line with expectations, which is a negative, you know, which is negative earnings or a slowdown compared with where we were last year, where we're still benefiting from the tax cuts. So, brace yourself just for tough times.
Yeah, I was watching an interview on BBC Breakfast over the weekend, and there's a politician who's just gone independent. And it was very interesting because he said what he's seen and the reason he's gone independent is because the Rory Stewart, that was his name, Rory Stewart. He's going to run for London Mayor as an independent candidate. He says, I cannot be involved anymore in party politics. He said that when he sat in cabinet meetings, he was a member of the cabinet, for goodness sake, one of the highest offices in the land. In fact, it doesn't get any higher. And he said that the level of knowledge And the level of seriousness was so low that he just thought, what am I doing here? He said, these people don't take their job seriously anymore. And you see that every single day in the House of Commons when people are bickering with each other and shouting and laughing. And he said, people didn't know what they were doing. And he was very scared by this. And I just wonder if politics is now becoming a bit of a game rather than something that people take as not only a job or a career, but also as a vocation. They don't do that anymore. Trump is perpetuating that sad state of affairs.
Well, politicians, the whole democratic system was that you represented an area and you represented the needs of that particular society. You know, if you were in a little suburb, you would turn to your representative to represent you in parliament. You know, if the water wasn't, if you never had water, you never had electricity, or there was crime, whatever it is, that was their job. That's gone. Now you're just a safe seat. They decide that wherever you live is a safe seat for the Conservatives, and you get voted there, and you have ambitions of becoming Prime Minister or something. You don't want to do the dirty work of being a politician. And I think it's the same here. I think certainly in South Africa, if you look at the quality of our politician, it's so poor. And it's driven by idealism rather than the need to actually lift the country. And I think that to an extent, if here you do turn to your representative, you know, even the fire chief is elected, the mayor or whoever, all civic jobs here are elected. And so there is a certain sense of responsibility. The mayor of New York, if there's a traffic jam or if the trucks are not out fast enough when it starts snowing, yes, he feels it. But go beyond that. Go beyond the mayors and various civil politics. Then it's along party lines where you dare not vote against Trump. So if you stand out against Trump with elections coming, what do? They put someone else against you. They find someone else who's pro-Trump to stand up against you. And the last thing you want to do now is lose your job. You've just been elected. The last thing you want to do is lose this cozy thing there simply because you followed your principles or you followed your moral compass and said, you know, I can't stand up for this. And that's why there's so much silence now. I think in the Republican Party, people are battling with what to do. But you're right. You know, Lindsay, what you're saying is that politics is they no longer representative of the people. I keep saying every politician gets up and talks about the American people. You know, the American people. I said, well, who are these American people? And who are you to talk for the American people?
Yeah, you see, there are certain jobs, David. I mean, financial services is not one of those jobs because financial services people want to make money, and there's nothing wrong with that, of course. But if you're a nurse, or you're a teacher, or you're a fireman, or you're a policeman, or indeed a politician, you should be doing it because it is a vocation rather than a career or a job. 100%. And you can't get that anymore. Mr. Trump is for one person. He's not for the GOP, the grand old party. No. He's not for Republicans. He's not for the United States. He's for Donald Trump. Yeah. And it is becoming more and more onerous for the future of the Republican Party and also for every single citizen, not only in the United States, but the world. Yeah. He is going to destroy everything, and he's off the rails now.
No, I you know, you as a you would agree with that, and I would agree with that. Problem is that most people who feel disenfranchised or disaffected don't feel that he's standing up for their rights. And to an extent, there's another argument, and it's an interesting argument. It's elitism. A lot of people are against the elitists, that occupy these high positions in parliament or in politics. And I think there is a move against them, you know. And I think to an extent, Trump dislikes them, although he went to Wharton, so you know, he does belong to that school. But I think there's also a move where this is where the Democrats have also got to get off their little pedestals and start moving towards the center. I think people view them as an elitist party, which is strange. So I think the Democrats also got to take an inward, you know, look at themselves and stop being, if you look at some of the Democrats and that very highfalutin, very intellectual, very, they've got to learn to fight like Trump and come down a step or two and use the same language if they want to get the people behind them as well.
Yeah.
But you know, to me it's fascinating, but it's it's very questionable what the motives are and what the real motives are and what democracy stands for. And I'm not going to get into a conversation because I haven't got the answers, but it baffles me, having held the Americas in such high esteem and always being proud of them. Now you look at them now and say, yeah, do you really want to stand up when Trump walks into a room? You know, you stand up for the position, as you said, you know, hello. You know, is this what it's come to? You know, you swear allegiance to the flag all the time. Hello. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It is very, very difficult to fathom. Yeah. And the most difficult thing to fathom is how it will end up. And I speak to people that I speak to every single day on this podcasting site. And there are people that just say, oh, well, look at the jobs rates, 3.5%, 50 years. Yes, very good. Well done. But that's been going on for 10 years now. The job rate has been going up every single year. And the other thing is, well, look at the tax cuts. Anyone can cut taxes. I mean, if you want to be a populist and you want to help yourself, in other words, Donald Trump, who hasn't submitted any tax returns for 8 years or something, then of course you're going to cut taxes. That's why he wants the Fed to cut rates, because he's in so much debt. So he wants cheaper finance. It's all to do with him. I despair, David. Awesome. I want to go and grow vegetables somewhere, and you'll be on the farm next to me. You'll grow chickens, and I'll give you my turnips.
I think you get into that kind of situation. I think what America's got to do now, I think what he's preventing them from doing, is that if you want to fight the Chinese, and, you know, we mentioned the Chinese because they're a big threat to America. And they're a threat because of innovation and because of their hard work. You know, that's really what they're ignoring. And I think America's actually got to get back to becoming an innovative nation. The people who invented computers, you know, who introduced the Apple Watch, who have introduced so many innovations. That's where they've got to focus. And I believe it's the focus is moving away from that, how to improve productivity, how to increase productivity. So, yes, I buy the jobs numbers because people, you know, everybody's got a job now, gets a bit of dignity and has got money that comes in on a regular basis and can go out and spend it, no matter how small. But I think their problem is bigger. The problem, in order to grow now with population growth kind of steady, is to improve, is to become a lot more innovative. And I don't know, you know, there doesn't seem to be a sense of that. And that's improve the universities, improve research, improve companies, American companies, to innovate. Yes, they can sell their innovation, as they did with Apple and various Google and so on. But it seems they're moving away from that, and that worries me. You know, that there's no new product. Do you understand? You know, there's nothing new coming onto the market. Like we saw in the last 10, 15 years, there's nothing new that's happening there in America. And that's where they should be focusing their efforts, not on, you know, not on trying to kill the Chinese in trade.
Yeah, anyway, I've been ranting on, and I get very angry when I shouldn't be watching CNN and reading The Atlantic and Huffington Post every single day, because it's starting to affect my daily life. So thank you for calming me down.
It's real. That's real.
I know it's real.
You know, that's real. You can't just turn away. You can't turn your head against it. No. And I'd rather you read that than watch Fox News.
Yeah.
Because that will really put you into a temper, you know. So.
But do you watch it in the morning?
Oh, God. I just, from time to time. It's mad. I can't turn it off. It's so bigoted and so biased. And but listen, they've got listeners. You can't ignore that.
What are you doing at the moment? I know you're on holiday. I know you're on holiday and running, and it sounds just like you're having a fantastic time. And I know you love New York, as I do, very much indeed.
My family time, yeah.
Yeah, but are you looking at the markets? You obviously are. Are you doing anything?
I look at the markets every day. No. I must admit that markets are holding much better than I thought they would. And that's only because we're in a low inflation, low growth, you know, low interest rate environment. So there's nowhere to go. And I think that's why markets are just bumbling sideways. So you neither want to buy nor do you want to sell. So, but I'm digging for opportunities. And I'm a little flat at the moment. I can't find anything that really dumps out at me. But you keep looking, you know, keep looking. But I must admit, I haven't done anything for some time now. There's nothing, you know, nothing exciting to do at the moment. And you've got to respect that. It's sometimes, you know, don't just deal for the sake of dealing. Just pull out, you know, just learn to do nothing.
David, thank you very much. Oh, no, we haven't spoken about football, have we? What a terrible weekend for the city of Manchester. I cannot believe that Manchester City lost 2-0 at home to Wolves, almost bottom of the table. I was astounded at that game.
I didn't watch, you know, it's not easy to get soccer here. So I didn't, you get the occasional watch the match, but I was staggered. I did watch Man United, though, who are terrible. Just, I think if you're a United fan, I think if you're a United fan or if you're a Spurs fan, you're in big trouble. Both of those teams look terrible. They look absolutely shocking. I just watched Spurs capitulate
against Brighton.
I didn't see the Wolves, and I watched the Man United huff and puff against Newcastle.
Mm.
Really, just got nothing. So it's pretty tough for those supporters. I can't see management lasting. I don't know what they've got to do. I don't know what magic wands they're going to have to wave. But I see Pochettino and probably Solskjaer, both of those out.
Gone by Christmas.
Man, yeah. And listen, all credit to Liverpool. I watched that game. I just looked and I saw in the 94th minute. I thought, oh, no. You know, I wanted them to draw. I just wanted their run.
It was a terrible decision from the referee. Okay, there was a slight amount of context. But, I mean, the guy jumped through hoops.
He threw himself. I know.
Of course he did.
I know. That's anyway. You're not going to change the result. And poor Leicester, because credit to Leicester. They're playing good soccer. They're trying hard. And pity. And Arsenal, I didn't see the game. I didn't see it.
Nor did I. But they beat Bournemouth 1-0, so it's a win, another win. They're up there again.
I know, but you want it a little more convincing. Look, they've been playing convincing soccer, I must say. The youngsters against Liege were pretty good. But they're holding. So I'm quite satisfied with where they are at the moment. And I just hope they can keep grinding out results.
And, of course, the big game over the weekend was Fleetwood Town versus Ipswich Town in the in the third division. Ipswich now 11 games undefeated at the top of the third division.
Oh, wonderful.
8 wins and 3 draws, and they beat the mighty Fleetwood Town in front of 6,000 people 1-0. So another marvellous weekend.
Where is Fleetwood Town?
It's near Blackpool, actually. It's on the northwest coast of England. And,
northwest, okay.
Northwest, yeah. I mean, up near between, yeah, it's close to Manchester on the coast. You know Blackpool, Tower, yeah. It's an old.
Yeah, I know where Blackpool is, yeah.
Yeah, it's an old seaside resort. So Ipswich went there and took the town to pieces. It's fantastic. David Shapiro is the deputy chairman of Sasrim Security, sometimes in Johannesburg, but mostly these days in Manhattan. And that was Shapiro World. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.